beyond yourself. And what's really important here is that we understand that looking to Jesus is what makes us have the abilities that God wants us to have in order to be effective in the society and the world in which we live. We're going to see a different Peter, two different Peters, and we're going to review a little bit before we walk into the lesson for this evening. And what we want to see is this remarkable change in Peter. Originally, we looked at Peter and saw how Peter cowered down at the advances and the questions of servant girls and innocent stand people that were just stand buyers and those who were on looking and just simply asking Peter questions, and he would run away. He was so afraid. And that's the Peter that we no longer can look at in this world. We see now the Peter who was very courageous in the things that he did. He looked beyond himself, and he looks now to Jesus, the author and the finisher of his faith. And so what we're looking at was a courageous Peter, a Peter who would confront powerful men. We looked at Acts chapter 4, and we saw how Peter confronted the men. We noticed that these people, again, were talking to the same Peter who ran from them and from others in the past. And we noticed that these men were the same men who crucified the Lord. They did indeed have power. But Peter stood face to face with these men, and Peter was able to hold his ground simply because he was standing upon the rock of Christ. And we noticed again in Acts chapter 5 that Peter, he's talking to the same group of people that told him he wasn't allowed to speak in the name of Jesus. And when he heard that the last time in Acts chapter 4, he said, whether it is right to obey you or God, you decide. But for them, they were simply going to obey God. They had no fear of these men. And that's something that we all want to learn. We must obey God rather than man, and we must realize that in our weakness, God is always strong, and that we can indeed do all things through Christ who gives us strength. That's what we want to learn from Peter. And so that's what Peter did. And the answer that we looked at this morning was that he simply trusted God. He trusted in the power of God. He trusted in not in his own weakness, but in that God that makes all things possible. And so the answer is trust God. We also discussed a little bit about all the principles, and we find them all throughout the New Testament. Paul said that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. In Timothy, he said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. He didn't give us a spirit to be afraid. He didn't give us a spirit to be worried about the conditions that we're in. He gave us the spirit that comes from the Almighty Creator, and he gave us the Word of God that we might use that at our fingertips and be able to find out those deep and rich things about our Maker and live without shame and without fear. To walk courageous. Every Christian needs to do this. Because without this, as we mentioned this morning, we're just bells without clangers. We're wells without water. We're clouds that are carried about by the tempest. In other words, we're really useless in the kingdom. We need to look to Jesus. We need the strength that only God can provide. We have to be able to fulfill the Lord's commands on our behalf. That one command to go out into the world and make disciples of men and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and then to teach them whatsoever I have commanded you. And Jesus says, lo, I will be with you. And we want to hang on those words. Because as long as we're looking to Jesus, as long as we understand that He's with us, no matter what our condition, no matter what the troubles in life, no matter what the complications, no matter what comes our way, we can stand. And we can stand strong. And when we trust in the power of God and not our own abilities, and we want to look beyond self. So we want to talk about the fearless, how Peter fearlessly trusted God. In 1 Peter, he tells us, to sanctify the Lord God. This is Paul now. Paul says, sanctify the Lord. I'm sorry, this is Peter. Sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to him who asks you of a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know, this begins with sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And remember that earlier, if you were here this morning, I said that there is going to come a time when somebody asks you of the faith that you have. There is always going to be a time in every Christian's life when somebody challenges what you believe. And it's a wonderful thing for that to happen. What are you going to say to that person who says, why do you attend the Church of Christ? What are you going to say? Because my parents started me in that? Because it's close to my house? Or are you simply going to say, well, I don't know. I guess any church is good. What are you going to say to those people? That's why Peter was fearless and trusting in the power of God, because he sanctified the Lord God in his heart. He sanctified the Lord God in his heart. And so he was ready. He prepared himself by the power of God to answer and give hope. You know, what will you say, young people? What are you going to say when somebody asks you, why do you go to worship services and Bible studies Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Why do you waste all that time? Are you going to say, because my dad makes me go? Is that what we're going to answer? You know, sometimes the questions are going to be very hard. They're going to be very pointed. They're going to be designed to make you fail. Somebody that's dealing with morality will ask questions. Is homosexuality a sin? What are you going to say? Same-sex marriage, as we discussed this morning, is that a sin? What are you going to say? What will your answer be? We can't all be people who leave our faith at home. We can't be like that old Peter who, when the questions arose, he just denied and he ran. Because that's not what the Lord wants for us today. Above all things, we need the spirit of faith, and we need that word of God that comes only from God in order to fight Satan. Satan is out there, and we know he's out there. He's seeking to your soul. He's seeking the souls of others. He's trying to destroy your reputation, and he will seek you anywhere and everywhere. Whether you're at home, whether you're at work, whether you're at play, whether you're here, he's trying to get to you. And he'll test you. And he'll look for weaknesses. He'll look for places where he already knows the scriptures. And he'll try to trip you up. And you need to be ready. You see, Peter, he looked to God. And he knew the scriptures. And he didn't put his trust in himself anymore. He tried that. It didn't work. It caused him to deny the Lord. It caused him to have fear. And, you know, that's why in Ephesians, we're told to put on the whole armor of God. We're told to put on that whole armor. Not just pieces and parts, but the whole armor of God. Why? Because by doing that, we can stand firm against that devil. Against all the darts that he's going to throw at us that represent all the troubles and the tripwires and the booby traps in life. He's going to do everything he can. But when you put on that shield and that helmet and that sword, and your feet are shod with the gospel, then he will not be able to overcome you. You'll be able to stand against the devil. Because the power of God's word is what protects us from the devil. That's what keeps us from being confused. And listen, when you trust in that word, your soul and the souls of others. And that's what's really important. Your soul and the souls of people that you know can be saved. How important is this? How important is it that we just simply do what God wants? Your soul and the souls of others. That's how important. So how did Peter do this? What caused the change in Peter? Number one, Peter stopped looking to self. When you look at self, what happens is when we look to ourselves, all that we see is what can happen to me. You know, I'm not going to talk or turn in this person who robbed the bank because they might come after me. You ever hear people that are afraid of turning someone in who broke a law because they're afraid of some kind of retribution? I just talked to a lady across the street here named Kathy who called me when the person broke into our building not too long ago. And the police asked her if she would give a testimony, a statement, a witness. And she said she had second thoughts because she was worried that this career criminal would come after her. You see, when you don't trust in God, you're worried about what people can do to you. And as a result, you're afraid to talk to people about God. especially people who are contrary. When we think about ourselves, we tend to get embarrassed. Maybe I don't have a perfect answer every time, and so I'm just going to keep my mouth shut because I'm just not good enough. Listen, I don't have all the answers. He has the answers. He's got the answer. When we think about ourselves instead of looking beyond ourselves to God, we worry about what we might lose. You know that I know of people that have great ability, could be millionaires in business, but they're afraid to go beyond the mom and pop shop because they're afraid of failing. They're looking to themselves and their own, what they perceive as inabilities. When we think about ourselves, we're limited by our own understanding of our own limited strength. I can't do this, is what we say. Can you talk to your neighbor about Jesus today? I can't do that. Will you talk to your coworkers about Jesus today? I can't do that. Will you answer this fellow's question about baptism? I can't do that. I feel so limited. I feel so powerless in this world of what seems to be powerful people, and I'm just going to wait for the Lord to come back. And we can't be that people. That was not Peter. You see, Peter focused on the cross. Peter focused on the resurrection. And Peter knew that his Lord had gone to heaven, was sitting on the throne of the right hand of God, and that this Lord is coming back. And Peter's just biding his time here and doing the work that the Lord is calling to do until the day in which he is able to see the Lord. When we think beyond ourselves where God is, that's exactly what Peter was able to do. That's why Peter was able to stand up to the Sanhedrin, the people who crucified the Lord. That's why people like Joseph of Arimathea were able to go and ask for the body of Jesus when before that he was afraid of the Jews. That's why Daniel was able to pray as was his custom, even though he knew that he would be thrown into the den of lions. And that's why Ananias was not the one who was afraid to go to Paul or Saul and tell him what he had to do to be saved. He went to the one who was killing and threatening and breathing threats and dragging people off into prison, and he was not afraid. He expressed his concern, but he looked beyond his own little self, and he looked to God, and he went and he talked to Saul, and Saul became Paul. He looked beyond himself. That's what Peter was able to do. I said it this morning and I'll say it again. That's exactly why Peter went from being a chicken to an eagle. And every one of us has that power. Every one of us. It's right here. And all we have to do is sanctify the Lord God. You see, Peter focused on the cross. He didn't focus on himself. He didn't look at the limitations of his muscles. He didn't look at the limitations of his own human spirit. He didn't look at the limitations of his mind, what he didn't know. He only looked at what he did know. And that's exactly what we must do. We have to stop thinking like man. And we can't fear man. There's a lesson from Jesus in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20. Remember what he said? Teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you, and lo, I will be with you till the end of the age. We know that Christ is with us. And we can see past ourselves. There was a little boy in a classroom full of little children. And this little boy was at school one day when they were supposed to stand up and tell everybody, this is what I want to be when I grow up. And one boy says, I want to be a fireman. Another boy says, I want to be a doctor. And another boy says, well, I want to be an astronaut. And this one little boy, he stood up and he says, I'm going to be a lion tamer. He says, I'm going to have that whip, and I'm going to crack it at that lion. I got that chair, and I'm going to hold that lion back. And the whole class went, ooh. And one little boy, aren't you going to be afraid? And he says, I'm not going to be afraid. My mom said she'd stand up there with me. We got Jesus standing up there with us. He says, lo, I will be with you always till the end of the age. It's more than mom. Not taking anything away from mom, but it's more than mom. That's what we learned there from Jesus. We need Jesus. We need Jesus to help us. Jesus will be with us. He will be our spiritual strength. And it comes only when we deny not Jesus, but self. Had Peter denied self, Jesus would have never said to him, this day before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. It never would have happened. But Jesus knew Peter. He knew what was going to happen. But see, we don't have to be Peter. We can deny self so that when we meet up with those people that ask of us, do you know the man? Instead of saying, I don't know the man, we say, yes, I know the man. I know Jesus, the Son of God, and He has great power to save your soul. Will you listen to me? If we deny ourselves, then we can serve God. If we don't deny ourselves, then we only serve ourselves. You know, we serve ourselves, which is the God of convenience. We look out the window and we see it's raining and we go, ah, I'm not going out there today. Why? Because I don't want to get wet. And then you look out the door like today. What a glorious day the Lord has blessed us with today. Wasn't it beautiful out there? Praise the Lord for that day. And listen, there are people who might be saying, you know what, it's so nice today, I'm not coming to worship. I'm going to go to the park. I haven't been to the park. I'm going to go golfing. I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to go to the movies. I'm going to do something out there. It's just so nice, I don't want to waste the day. And they're worshiping the Lord of convenience. They're worshiping themselves. They're looking to themselves rather than to God. We look in the mirror of our own selves. And the task before us is, it's just a little bit hard. And so we say, I'm not going to do it. We see someone who seems to be powerful, more powerful than us, more knowledgeable than us. And so we feel weak and we look to ourselves and we're never able to reach them. I used to think that it was wrong for me to talk to a doctor when I would go to the doctor. Because they were always so much smarter than me. You know, doctors, they're pretty smart. There isn't a doctor I've been to that I haven't talked to about the Lord. Because I quit looking at myself. And I quit looking at that doctor. And I start looking at Jesus. And that's what we need to do. We fail because we keep looking at ourselves. We trust in our own strength and not the strength of Jesus. But when you look to the cross, like Peter looked to the cross, it doesn't matter if it's raining. It doesn't matter if the snow's this deep. The task doesn't matter how big the task is, and it doesn't matter what the adversary is, who is before you, if it is even a Goliath. Because you're going to march right on out there like David. And he's going to look to God. And he's going to overcome. You know, we see the way that Peter changed. It's obvious. He changed from being frightened of a little servant girl, shaking at the knees, one who withstood the power of the leaders of the Jews. The change. All because he kept looking to the cross. Another reason that we see that strength in Peter is the focus was on the faith and not on the feelings. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, feelings will always get us into trouble. Faith will always guide us through our troubles. And like Peter, we focus on our feelings, then we get into trouble. Like Peter, when we focus on our faith, it carries us through our troubles. And so we want to be that Peter. The Peter who could overcome. The Peter who could live without fear. The Peter who was changed by Jesus. And by His faith. That isn't in Him, but in the Lord. What do we call this? It's called transformation. We've all heard that word, right? We're transformed. That's what Paul said in Romans. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove that what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. When we do that, we're continually being transformed. In 2 Corinthians 3 and 18, the Apostle Paul, he wrote, being transformed into the same image from the glory to glory. You know, I didn't put it on the screen, but you ever see somebody that looks just like their dog? There's a lot of funny pictures on the internet, and I probably should have, but there are people that when you see them walking their dog, it's kind of hard to tell which one's which. But you know, that's what Paul's talking about here. Paul is saying that when we start walking with Jesus, we start to look like Jesus. We start to act like Jesus. We have a change in our spirituality, our mind, and we begin to inwardly begin to be changed. And that change is everlasting and powerful. It's not based upon the preacher. There's some, you know, who say, oh boy, that preacher moved me today. I'm not sure that I like it when I hear that was a good sermon today. And don't get me wrong. I'm not going to turn away praise, but the glory goes to God, doesn't it? But it's the Word of God that should change us. It's the Word of God that should move us, not the tone of the preacher. And we shouldn't sit in a sermon anytime as long as the truth is being preached and say, I didn't get anything out of that. You know, I like that preacher in that other building over there. We're going to start going over there. I'm not trying to protect myself. I'm simply saying that the Word of God is why we're here. We're here because of the power of God. We're here because we're looking to God, not the man, including ourselves. Think about Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. By faith, Moses, he became of age and refused, you hear that word? He refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. Part of faith is to refuse. I want you to see that. He refused. He refused the Pharaoh's status. He refused all the amenities that came with being the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. He refused people. He was able to say no to people. He was able to say no to his teachers. He was able to say no to the temptations. Because he chose to refuse. And he chose the right thing. Choosing is a must for our faith. It's not just saying, no, I'm not going to drink alcohol. No, I'm not going to cuss. No, I'm not going to get involved in fornication. No, I'm not going to take drugs. No, I'm not going to kill anybody. Because people ask, well, then what are you going to do? I'm going to choose to walk the right path. I'm going to choose to walk the holy highway. I'm going to choose to look to Jesus for all the answers in life. I'm going to choose to accept the Word of God over the word of man. In verse 26, he talks about being esteeming. Esteeming means to hold someone or something in high regard. And that thing that he was holding was Jesus. In the latter half of that verse, he uses the word looking. Looking to the reward. Seeing past self. Seeing past riches. Seeing past the pleasures of this world. Seeing past any reward that this world can give us to the reward that comes from God. Thinking about consequences that can keep us out of heaven and looking and choosing and esteeming God and His Word and His power over all these things. Refusing them. And he also said in verse 27, he forsook. That means he left. We talked about this morning in the Bible study about the circumcision of the heart, forsaking things. We leave those things that are ungodly behind us. Sometimes we come to Christ, and like those people who left Egypt, we want to go back. We come to Christ, and we have to leave Egypt out. Moses left Egypt. God wanted them to change. He wanted him to change. In Romans chapter 6, we read about baptism. As we are risen up from baptism to walk a newness of life, there has to be a change. Colossians and Ephesians letters, they're filled with stresses of the new man, of the new man in Christ. The one who has a circumcised heart. How was Peter transformed? Peter began being scared. Peter, who thought about himself and worried about being arrested or being killed. Yeah, that was Peter. But he fearlessly trusted in the power of God. He looked beyond self. How was Peter transformed? He was being transformed from that scared Peter who worried about himself to a courageous Peter. And he says, I don't care what they can do to me. They can kill me. They can throw me in prison. And listen, they did. And it never stopped him. They did put him in prison. They did try many times to kill him. And eventually, they did kill him. But he looked past all that. And he just simply looked to Jesus. He looked past the pain. He looked past the suffering. He looked past the sorrows. He looked past the anxiety. He looked to Jesus. And he overcame. And he saw that power, that heaven, that eternal life, that home that's been prepared since the foundation of the world, and that place that Jesus prepared when he went back. And because he thought about Jesus, because he knew what was awaiting him, he knew the Lord's words. And we know that we need the same thing. Because that's what transforms us. We are the light of the world. And we don't put our light under a bushel because we want our light to shine But our light can't shine if we walk in fear. You know, the Peter over here is not the same Peter that's over here. Because he changed. And what caused him to change is looking to Jesus and walking in faith. And Peter didn't focus on what he could not do in Christ. He didn't focus on what he couldn't do. And that it's not on what Peter can't do. He focused on what he could do. Jesus says to the disciples when they were in that boat and being tossed about by the tempest and the winds and the storms, thinking they're going to die, and he says, "Oh, why are you fearful? You of little faith. Why are you afraid?" 23 times, give or take, in the New Testament that I counted, Jesus would use phrases like, "Do not be afraid, fear not, do not be afraid, have courage." This Matthew 26 is just one of them. But you see, there's a connection there. There's a connection that we can't overlook. Faith and courage are connected. Faith and fear are never found in the same connection. They're not found in the same heart. They fear because they looked at themselves. They looked at the weather, the circumstances, the wind and the rain, instead of to Jesus. Can we say that about ourselves? Or do we constantly say, "I can't do that"? In Matthew chapter 10, verse 31, he says, "Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." Those words should give us assurance, confidence. You know, by faith, we know God is right. It's that simple. The outcome of the story, we know the outcome of the story. He's already told us that as we follow Him and we walk in faith, we will be in heaven one day. We know the outcome of the story. Jesus, we know He's the King and He's sitting on His throne in heaven. And we look to this. And that'll drive away fear. That helps us to realize that these things are true. "Do not fear," He said. I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 22. In Genesis chapter 22, it's something again that we're familiar with. And that is the account of Abraham and his son Isaac. And we want to realize that we're talking about Abraham's faith and how Abraham focused on his faith. And as we read chapter 22, verses 4 through 5, it says, "Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you.'" You see what's happening there? The word that I want you to focus on here is the word "we." Abraham was told to take his son. Abraham took his son. He took the wood for the fire of the altar. He took the knife and the bindings, and he was going to sacrifice his son. And we know that's true because his hand was stopped by the angel of God. But the word "we" is where we need to focus. He didn't say, "I'm going up there, and Isaac and I are going up there to worship, and I'll be back." He said, "We're coming back." How did he know how to say "we are coming back"? Because he trusted in God and not in himself. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 19, look at what it says, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. That's what it's talking about Abraham. Concluding means thinking. God, Abraham would think about what happened, what the power of God is. He didn't have what we have. He wasn't able to say something like, "Hey, I'll just kill my son, it's all right, because, hey, he brought Lazarus back." There was no Lazarus. He couldn't say, "Well, I remember that Shunammite son that Elijah brought back." There was no Shunammite son. From Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 2, nobody was ever raised up from the dead. He had no idea of this thing except he trusted in the power of God. And that's where our trust needs to be. We need to focus like Daniel. We need to focus like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We need to focus like Joseph of Arimathea. We need to focus on God. What makes us courageous? What makes us truly hold to faith? We believe in God. We trust in God. Those things are true with all of us. So when somebody says to you, "Tell me, why do you believe what you do?" What a great opportunity that is, because you have the Word of God and you can tell them why you believe what you do. Because you sanctified the Lord God in your heart. And you know what? You turn that right around and you say to them, why do you believe what you believe? And I will tell you from experience, most people can't tell you why they believe what they believe. They can tell you what they believe, but not why. It's a great opportunity because we have the power of God. We have the full armor of God and we utilize it. It's an open door. Error under investigation always falls apart, but truth always stands. What do we lose when we look to Jesus? When we look to the cross? When we look to the power of God? We lose. We really do. What you lose is fear. Fear falls apart. You lose the fear of any man. You lose the fear of the devil. What do you lose? You lose compromising with the world out of fear and retribution. What do you lose? You lose denying the Lord, and standing in faith is what you gain. What do you lose? You lose, you're gone from you is hiding your faith and pretending that you're someone else when you're away from this building. Walking as a hypocrite, you lose it. And another thing that's gone is sitting with the enemy and trying to blend in. Christians, brothers, sisters, we just can't do that. We can't do that. What is Peter going to do? March on to Zion. What are we going to do? March on to Zion. Acts chapter 19, verse 18 through 20, that many believed and were confessing in the deeds that what Peter had taught them, what Paul taught, what James taught, and Matthew and the rest was true. And they took these books and they burned them. And the books were worth 50,000 pieces of silver. You know, they burned them. Why didn't they go sell them on the internet? They could have been worth something. Those books were worth 50,000 pieces of silver. They could have sold them. Why'd they burn them? Because they were useless. Because they had no value. Unlike your soul, which 50,000 pieces of silver doesn't mean much. You know, what's 50,000 pieces of silver? 50,000 pennies? That's a lot. $50,000? That's a lot. What if each one was worth $10? What if each one was worth $100? What's 50,000? Compared to your soul. I hope you can stand up with Peter this day. Stand up with the Lord and stand up in His church and be baptized for the remission of your sins, or confess your sin if you have not done so. And please do that as we stand and as we sing. Song number 845.